Twin Flames is a podcast created by best friends and twin flames, Chloe and Hillary, about personal development, shifting the perspective, and getting in touch with the best version of yourself. Chloe is a practicing eclectic witch, entrepreneur, and clairvoyant. Hillary is a mindfulness expert, happiness educator, and practicing therapist trainee. We combine our strengths and knowledge to bring you the best of what we've found has been helpful to us on our respective journeys.
Bitch, Mercury retrograde is finally over.
Yes.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy. Like, I'm technically not ruled by Mercury or anything, but I do have my sun and moon in the sixth, which mm-hmm. we'll learn more about in the next episode.
Yes, we will.
I have my sun, moon in the sixth, though, which is all about Virgo, and Virgo is ruled by Mercury. So I feel like I just kind of become a mess. When Mercury is in retrograde, I'm like, who am I? I don't even know who I am.
That's so interesting.
Also, technology gets fucking crazy during Mercury retrograde, and now that should be sorting its life out. And I don't know if I ever told you about this, car trouble during Mercury retrograde.
Interesting.
I literally had to sell my car and get a new one during this retrograde.
I had this piece, I'm really bad with the specific names, but you know that piece of metal that like holds everything up or protects it all under your car?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So is it that a skid plate?
I think so. Yeah. That shit came loose. Like the whole front of it just started dragging on the ground.
Fuck. That happened in Mercury retrograde?
Yeah.
Damn.
It's crazy.
Also, I know that our cars were old bitches, so.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. I got a Honda and that shit is reliable.
I agree with, dude, literally, if the situation we were in was like really difficult and we literally had no choice, we had to sell the car and literally pick up a new one all in the mm-hmm. same day because we would have been driving our car illegally if not, because mm-hmm. we wouldn't pass smog. And anyway, that's a whole other story. But the crazy thing with that, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, Honda, why they are fucking reliable.
Yeah.
Literally, if like it wasn't, if the situation hadn't played out how it did and we weren't already at Nissan and they knew they could get us something and it was like the deal we wanted, we would have gone to Honda. Because
yeah.
our next car, we're convinced, is going to be a Honda CR-V.
Yes.
Or this whatever is the second model is that's new.
Well, honestly, like, I'm not trying to get into a whole conversation about cars, but.
Right? We don't even like cars. Who are we
no,
today?
I'm just like, oh, they're so reliable. You know what it is? It's not even about the car, it's about the security.
I agree.
You know, like, I know that it's going to be fine. The reliability, yeah. I don't know.
I agree. So no, Hondas are the fucking ride or die. Like, the mechanic friend that I have that works at Nissan and has worked on our car, I asked him, because he knows a lot about cars, mm-hmm. like, I was telling him that we really do want to get an SUV next time when we mm-hmm. can qualify for a better car. And I asked him, like, who's the best? And he gave me the major three, which I think was, like, Honda, Toyota, and somebody else. It wasn't Nissan. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, but which one's the best? And he was like, straight up, if you're buying an SUV, buy a Honda. Like, Honda's where it's at. And I was
yeah.
like, wow. And
I've
what's
had two
interesting,
now.
My parents, shade on them, intended, used to, actually really just my mom, used to like shit talk Honda. That's funny. I have an aunt, Shonda. Honda so hard.
Really?
Growing up, like, I didn't understand why there was this weird bias, but
huh.
yeah. No, Honda, apparently really great.
Oh, I think so. My first car was a Honda. Super reliable. It's still, like, the only reason that I went to a different car was we have this hand-me-down thing going. My dad gets a new car, I get his old car, and we just keep passing shit down.
Wait,
some people
so
do it with clothes.
Not, are you still driving the tan Honda, or are you driving the other one now?
Silver now. Yeah, so I have a Honda Hybrid.
Oh,
and
shit, bitch. I didn't know
tell
that.
You.
Oh, when
yeah.
did you get his fucking upgrade?
It's
bitch,
been
congrats.
A while. Thanks.
I'm sorry, I never come home, so.
No, it's funny, though, because, like, I didn't switch cars because there was anything wrong with mine. It ran great. It was an 04 and it's still in good
wow.
condition. Like, it still works well. The one I have right now is an 06 and it's fine. Like,
wow.
So I don't like cars, but I'm big on Honda.
Like,
Again, it's that security, man. That reliability.
It is. It's the reliability, man. And right? I will say this. I am grateful now that Andrew and I have something that feels very reliable.
Yes.
Feels so much more, like, safe and secure. And yeah. Also, I'd never bought a new car, like, because it's, like, a new, like, a 2019 model.
Oh, my gosh. It's so exciting.
It's crazy. Crazy, crazy. Anyways, that is so not even what we're talking about today. We have no segue for this.
No, not at all. I love that. Just started with astrology and then we're like, and cars.
Yes. But today we're talking about personality styles, you guys.
Yeah, we are. Have
so much to cover. This is probably a long ass episode.
Seriously. Like, the therapist in me is so fucking excited.
Yes. And next week to this episode, we'll be following up talking about zodiac and birth charts. So yes. Look forward Yay. To that.
I'm super excited. So I think a good place to start is basically where we always start, with a good definition. So yes.
We love a good definition.
What do you got for us, Chloe?
So on Wikipedia, it says, personality is defined as the characteristic set of behaviors, cognitions, and emotional patterns that evolve from biological and environmental factors.
Yeah.
Love that.
Super fancy way of just being like, nature plus nurture equals you.
Yes. So fascinating.
Right? So, and while we're on that topic, it was explained to me, like, personality was explained to me in a way that, like, really stuck out. So, temperament plus attachment equals personality. So, we're all born with a certain temperament. It's just how we are. You'll notice that some babies are more upset than others, and that's a really simplified way of talking about temperament.
Yes.
But it starts with that. We're born with a certain temperament. And then our attachment is how we attach or don't to a caregiver. And there's so many factors in that. You can have secure, insecure, disorganized. I mean, it's a whole thing. Attachment's like literally its own realm of study. So we don't have time to go into all that. But if you pair those two together, the temperament you're born with and the attachment that you develop, that creates your personality.
Which I totally agree. And Me on that too. Note, I hope I'm not getting shit out of order right now, Hillary.
I have no idea. Who cares?
But I know so. Something I really wanted to touch on with, like, basically where you've come from giving you your personality, which, yes, 100%. But I've even experienced today, which we'll get into later, how your personality can completely change. Like, over time, you can develop a different sense of personality or a personality style. And that's great. You've evolved as a person. It's not like, oh, you're this way, so you've always been this way and you'll always be this way. Not true. And in fact, that makes me want to touch real hard on this weird-ass concept that a lot of people seem to have. My social justice inner warrior is coming out.
Yeah.
I have this. I hate this. I hate it. I hate it so much. I just want to stab people in the neck that say
this. Tell me about the hate.
It makes me so mad. When people say that, like, you're just one person, you can't make change, or it can't change. Like, there's this weird, or like, but you can't change them. What is this weird fucking obsession in society with, like, but people don't change? Yes, they fucking do. It's not our job to change people or the world as an individual, but, like, change creates ripple effects. People.
Yes.
If you are one of those people, come to my house. I will stab you in the neck.
Probably don't go to her house.
It makes me so fucking mad when people say that people can't change. Like, don't say that to me ever, because I don't agree with you.
Yes. Well, I mean, honestly, like, I completely agree. The statements like that, I think, put us in this narrow realm where it's like, oh, if I can't change, well, then what's the point? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I just want to point out that it feeds into the complacency that keeps all of these other systems functioning just the way they are. So if we all believe that we can't change, then of course we won't. And the whole system keeps going just as it is. And really, do we want that? Or do we want to, like, make the world and ourselves and our collective better?
And I have something that I'm so going to touch on in our Zodiac episode of how that lines up so appropriately.
I'm so excited.
Sorry, and my Mercury went direct today, like I said, and I'm just like, I'm an Aries Mercury, so like, I'm fucking aggressive when I'm very serious about something.
That's why you gotta stab people in the neck.
Yeah, so if you want to get stabbed in the neck for telling me people can't change, please come over.
Oh my god, quick side story. I have a magnet, and it's, I don't know how to describe the image on it, but it says... Sometimes I wish I were a unicorn so I could stab people with my horn.
I'm not sure if that's sexy or really bad.
Right?
I like it.
Oh, it's so funny. No, it says I can stab stupid people with my horn. That was it.
So it's definitely that kind of stabbing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I have too much self-worth to want to put it in, you know.
Right? Right? Anyway, back on track. So, with personality styles, this is such a broad topic. It's like, okay, well, where do we start? What do we even, like, talk about? So, we have a whole list.
Big list.
I'm going to briefly, like, read them each off. I might give a little glimpse about each one. And then in the description, we're going to put down all of the websites that you can go to look at these further, whether it's a test that you can take or something with information for you. It's all going to be available. So don't worry about learning about it all right now. You can do that on your own time, which I highly recommend. Okay, so... The first one is one that we've probably all heard about at some point, Myers-Briggs.
Love it.
That's the one that has, like, all these different letters in it, and there's, like, combinations of four or five letters, and it tells you all these things about yourself. Then there's the Enneagram, and so that'll give you information in terms of numbers, which sounds really strange, but it makes sense when you see it.
It totally does. That one's really new to me, and I was like, whoa.
Right? I love that one. New to me,
like,
too.
Whoa. And we were like, whoa. And you were like, whoa.
Whoa. Then there's basic introversion versus, excuse me, introversion versus extroversion. There were too many Vs for me right there. And so I think that one we find to be relatively, like, mainstream and kind of intuitive. But hey, you never know. Check it out.
Yeah.
I also like to think that there's a middle ground of ambiversion, you know?
I agree.
You know, but whatever. Then we have astrological signs, which we will talk way more about next week.
Yes.
Numerology, which is super fun.
Love numerology.
Right? And as in the name, that's also numbers. Yes. Human design. Now, human design is very, very new to me, and I don't know much about it.
Same.
But it's so cool.
I don't even think I knew that you knew about that, actually, because it's so new to me as well. I know that I'm a generator. We didn't pick it, so I'm just going to throw it out there. A whatter?
Wait, was that for four tendencies? No, that was four tendencies, which is another one. Four tendencies.
Oh, snap.
Human design. I forget what I am. I have it somewhere. I'm going to find out.
I know
Andrew's
a projector. My husband's a projector. I'm a generator. It explains why I do so much fucking shit being a generator.
I am a projector.
Oh, I can totally see that. Andrew's a projector as well.
I'm just imagining, like, how I felt when I first heard all these words, and I was like, the fuck is that? And I'm imagining our listeners being like, I don't know what words they're saying right now. Like...
Go take the test.
Right? It makes sense when you do it. It makes sense when you do it. So some more. There's the five love languages, which is just like it sounds. And I just need to point out, that one is not just about, like, how you love your romantic relationship partners. Yes. It's all your relationships. How do you receive and give out love?
Yes.
We'll talk about it. And then we also have... This is the total therapist in me. Nancy McWilliams is incredible. I'll link her book down below, Psychoanalytic Diagnosis. And so she talks about personality styles. And the way she talks about them is so interesting. Very spot on. Love her.
Yes.
And then we also have auras. There's a book that... we're going to link all of this stuff. There's a link I'll put down in the bottom for this that is also from a book. It's a whole thing. There's going to be
really,
like,
cool.
10 million links in the bottom, so just check them out.
And I want to say, Hillary, your aura is purple.
Yeah,
like,
it
violet.
Is. Violet, yeah.
And mine's green, and it's funny because I can read auras if I try. And mine actually is green. Like, it's not just like, it's just crazy. I don't know. It just really adds, like, not that I didn't think it was true, but, like, yeah. I don't know. I can see it, too. So.
It's so interesting. I remember, quick side story, I remember reading that book because I got it from one of my former therapists. And I, like, went through all of these things, and I was like, oh, I'm Violet. And I read about Violet. And I was reading things about myself that I wasn't aware of, but that were totally true. I love really cool. those experiences. Like, how do they know when I don't? You know?
Yes.
And the last one I wanted to mention, last two I wanted to mention. There's the color code, which we'll chat yes. about a little bit. And then there's also doshas. And doshas... I know that we're lumping this all into personality styles, and to be honest with you, a lot of these are a little different than simply personality styles,
yes.
but it's all kind of, it all connects. Doshas actually come from Ayurveda, and they're really cool. I feel really myself cool. wanting to, like, launch into all these discussions, but we don't have time for all of that, so if you're interested, check it out. I have so much to say about all of those, but we'll put the links.
Yes. Yes. Please check out our description, our show notes, our nether regions.
All of it. It sounds weird to ask people to check out our nether regions.
I'm cool with it. I like it. That's the idea.
I like it. and really quick, I just need to point out, we are talking about personality styles. This is what your character is like, how you are in the world, maybe how your defenses are. We all have defenses. It's okay. That is so, 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 so much different than a personality disorder. Do not yes. confuse the two.
Yes.
Like, and I'll probably mention that
again in our next part because people try to lump like mental illness and with astrology, and you should just never do that.
Seriously.
Doesn't work like that.
And that's so tricky because I think, I don't know, there's this like need to organize and explain all this stuff, but you know, some things can be separate categories, and these, you gotta tease them apart. Like, the last thing I want, for instance, in Nancy McWilliams stuff, she uses words like antisocial or obsessive or schizoid. Like, all of those can sound scary and sound like there's something wrong with you. It sounds like it might imply that there's a disorder going on. That's not the case. I can't say it firmly enough. It's a style, not a disorder. It's only a disorder. Anything in life is only a disorder if it impairs your daily functioning, if it's getting in the way of work, of school, of friends, of family, of yourself, all of those things, then sure, there might be something going on and you might want to go talk to someone. Absolutely. But having a personality style, even if you have an antisocial personality style, that does not mean that you have antisocial personality disorder. I say that because I think that's the scariest example for all of us.
Yeah.
So true. Just please, please, please do not conflate the two. They are separate.
Please. Yay. Yeah. All right. So we thought what we would do with this is we obviously can't cover all of these. There's just not – this would have to be literally like a 10-part thing if we wanted to sit and like individually cover all the different personality types and styles.
Right?
And
like, did you hear how fast I was talking just to get all that information out?
So both Hillary and I have picked three that we're very passionate about, and we're going to discuss both of our personality types in each one. So I guess I'll start. So I want to start first, I think, with the color code, because this one is the most, like, I almost want to say outdated. It's a very old test. I took it back in high school, which, gosh, why did we just hit our 10-year?
Can you believe that?
That makes me, like, feel weird. I don't
know. I know. I was thinking about the other day and I was like, holy shit. It's been 10 fucking years since we graduated. Right? Like, what is life?
And I think the original test actually is relatively outdated. Like, it's a very old test. Mm-hmm. But basically, it asks you questions based on, again, links down below. It asks you questions based on who you were as a child. And I think that's why they had us do it in high school. I did it so many times, was because they still, like, it's also partly, like, youth and, like, child, that whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, basically, if you're an adult taking the test, you want to tap back into who you were as a child, and you'll get a color, which I believe the colors are yellow, red, blue, and white.
Huh.
Which I don't know why they would do white, because it's technically not a color. It's the absence of color, but whatever.
That's so interesting.
This is what I'm saying. but I don't know a whole lot about every personality type, but I want to say yellow is like the really charismatic, like they're out there, they're socializing with everyone. My dad is a yellow type, totally fits and suits him. White is like the easygoing, they can pretty well get along with everybody. Blue tends to be more in their feelings and more intuitive, and red is the very like dominant leader. So those are the four types, which I feel like even looking at that on a category level, like that doesn't give you very many options.
I know, that's so interesting. But,
I came out as a blue. I've always been a blue. I have taken different variants of this test though, and like ones that they don't ask you to go back to childlike state. They ask you just to, or like compare yourself to childhood. They just ask the questions nowadays. And if I took it at present tense, I'm actually a red personality, which I think is so interesting that I've come from this like deeply intuitive, only thinking about my emotions, being really shy and quiet, to this like position of like loud leadership. And I find that so fascinating.
Absolutely.
And what was your experience, Hillary? You took the test today.
Yeah, I did, for the very first time. I got blue as well. Like a little less than half of the pie chart was blue, because they give you a pie chart.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just really interesting that it's only asking about, like you were saying, how you were as a child. And yes. I was like, oh, I bet that's so different for me now. So I'm really glad that you're talking about that.
I feel like, honestly, my personality leans more towards like a red-yellow, which, I mean, it makes sense based on what I do for a living. You kind of have to be very charismatic to put yourself out there like that.
Yes.
And funny enough, short side story, eight side stories. I was at dinner just the other night with some friends, or yesterday technically, with some friends. And they were talking about like these old videos, without going into too much detail. Like some of them have videos online where they're so embarrassed of them. And I was like, miss me with that shit. Like I have my face plastered on so many places. Like I'm so comfortable in front of a camera, which is weird because if you'd asked me that 10 years ago, I would have been like, oh, hell no. But I am like so comfortable. I would be like, bitch, look at me in this cool video. Like I don't understand that weird, like, especially because these videos were old, like being ashamed of something that's like super old. But again, just my life experience is different. So of course I don't harbor any shame. But
that's so interesting.
It was so fascinating to me to like have that conversation.
Yeah, totally.
Also, I became extremely aware of how many projects I always have going on when they all wanted to know what I did for a living. And I was 20-minute ramble of all my projects.
Right? I get that.
So that was really fun. If you guys, like, even if you are more in your adolescence, I almost think that's a better test to take, because it also brings up a little bit to my understanding, looking at it, it could really actually be a gateway to looking into your own social conditioning.
Dude,
which we've already covered.
Thank you. Yes. I was just thinking that. I'm like, but how helpful is that test in just like seeing, oh, that's what I was conditioned to be. That's how I was raised.
Exactly.
Like, even if you're different now, at least it puts that right in front of you.
Yes. And what I find even more interesting is growing up, I was very attached to my mom, very attached to my mom. And she would vouch for that as well. And my mom is a blue personality type too. So
interesting.
It's fascinating to me that like obviously spending 99% of my time around a blue personality type, of course I'm going to be raised to be more like a blue personality type.
Yes.
So just so fascinating.
Oh, I love peeling back those layers, right? Just one at a time.
So interesting. Okay, so next up, I want to talk a little bit about the love languages. Because yes. Love languages, and I apologize, I don't think I actually pulled up the list of love languages, so I'll do that now. There's a few different ones that you can be. I think it says the 5 love languages?
Yes, there's 5.
Yeah.
There's a book, so, too. There's a book, an app, and a website.
There is. So the different love languages, and this, again, as Hillary said earlier, is how you receive and give love. And you could be multiples of each. Like, it doesn't, yeah. Sometimes they come out very evenly distributed.
Yeah.
But there's acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time, physical touch, and I missed one, words of affirmation. Mm. So those are like,
I'm sorry. You just made such a good point. That you can be multiple things at once.
Like, yes.
Like, for all of these, I feel like that's the case. Please don't limit yourself. I just had to throw that in there.
I agree.
Such a good point. Thank you.
So my results on that, well, I guess I probably should give you guys a little bit on them. I mean, to a degree, I feel like they're self-explanatory. Like, words of affirmation, that's going to be you just fucking gassing your motherfucking partner or friends up. Like, you're so great at blank. It's like almost like giving praise.
Yeah.
In a way. Acts of service, that's going to be just like doing little tasks for others that maybe they need to do, but you just go ahead and do them without even being asked, or just kind of getting things done. Receiving gifts, this is like little like tokens or prizes. Like, maybe you went on a trip and you got your significant other or your friend a little item, something, and you bring it back for them. And I think a lot of people think that this means that the person who is that is materialistic, which could be true, but it's not necessarily about that. It's more about like, wow, while you were away, you really thought about me.
Yes.
That's what it has more to do with.
Definitely.
Quality time, pretty self-explanatory. You just spend time with your friends or partner. Mm-hmm. And then physical touch, people also get this one confused that it has to be sexual. It does not.
Of course it doesn't.
Yeah. So many people are like, my dad came out with, his was physical touch. Mm-hmm. And instantly my mom raised her eyebrows and was like, obviously, blah, 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 trying to like talk about like sex and stuff. And I was like, no. It's literally like, it could be a hand held. It could be a hug. It does not have to be sexual in nature.
Yes. So true.
And there was somebody else in my life that was like that too, that it came out that way. And they were like, what? Like, they got like so worried that it was only about sex. And I was like, no, it's not really how it works.
It's really interesting how we conflate those two. Like, if it's physical, it has to be sexual. What is that?
Right?
It's a whole other conversation. But like, right? What?
Friends kiss all the time. Doesn't have to be weird.
I mean, physical touch? I don't know. I have so many thoughts. Sorry.
Anyways. So my results on this, the reason I brought up, and I'm glad that I did, as Hillary said, that you can be multiple, is mine are so close. I have 2 that are like literally a point off that I count them both.
Yeah.
For how I give love to other people, there's no contest though. I mostly give love to other people by giving gifts, which I love that. I do. I love giving gifts to people. It makes me really happy. Mm-hmm. And the way that I receive love is also through receiving gifts, but the very close second is acts of service. So, big fan. Like, nothing makes me have bigger fucking heart eyes for Andrew than when he brings me, like, even if he just goes to the motherfucking gas station, mm-hmm. he's like, oh, I brought you back a candy. Like, oh, for me, you did that? Like, I'm such a little sap. It's adorable. He also, like, at work, sometimes they'll, like, give them little treats and stuff, and he'll, like, set one aside and just keep one for me, whatever it is. Even if it's, like, a tiny bag of chips. And
that's,
I'm just like,
so sweet.
Bitch, thanks.
Aww.
And he's got acts of service down to a T. So.
Ugh. I think it's so helpful to know people's, like, love language, you know? Like, it was not my intent to bring you gifts because I know that your love language is gifts. But there was something, I don't know. I feel like once you know someone, you kind of start recognizing like, oh, this and this. And bringing you that like massive array.
Oh my God. I'm sure you saw my face light up like a damn Christmas tree.
And that was so valid. Like, overall, I think for both of us, very a validating experience. Like, oh, you get me. And also, oh, you're so happy about it. Like, I just find that so interesting how we can,
I love it,
if we're aware of it, fall into that so easily, you know? I agree.
Also, I think my second one down for giving love is words of affirmation. Mm. Like, I'm really good at speaking the praise.
Yeah. I have two that are, I recently took this. So, and to the point that you can change, a long time ago I took it, and I had, like, words of affirmation was really high. The next three were all tied, and gifts was at the bottom. And I was like, shit, that's hard. but then I took it again recently, and it was different. I have acts of service and words of affirmation are tied for top. And then next down is physical touch, then quality time. And Chloe, this is so interesting. My receiving gifts is a one. One.
It's good that I'm good at words of affirmation.
Right? We help each other in that regard. I think we have really a good cycle going.
I agree.
So interesting.
It is interesting. So that's how you receive. How do you give? Is it the same?
That's a good question. So, you know what's funny? I actually am not quite sure. Like, really? Did you do a separate test for that? Or how did you sort that out? Or is it just intuitive?
No, I definitely took a test for it, but I don't remember if it was on that or... I want to say it could have potentially been another one on their website. But we'll link their website down below so you guys can figure it out.
I do believe that intuitively, I think words of affirmation is my biggest one for how I show love. I mean, And if you've ever spoken to me, I think that's pretty damn clear. Yes. I'm fucking constantly just like, you're amazing and you're wonderful. Because I feel it. You know, it's totally genuine. It just, that's how my love comes out. I'll tell you.
Yes. I love it. Love it so much.
I'm so intrigued about what your third choice was.
So my third choice, I think you're really going to like this because I even pulled up something extra that I didn't tell you about.
So, oh my God, I'm so excited.
It corresponds with this, and I bet you that you didn't know what this about your life path. So we're talking about life paths, numerology. So with life paths, the way that you figure this out, I believe it has to do with your birthday. Like you take all the numbers of your birthday and basically add them together, but not like, so for me, May 14th, 1991, I'm not going to add 1991 plus 14 plus 5, it's 5 plus 1 plus 4 plus 1 plus 9 plus 9 plus 1. And then whatever that number is, unless it's a master number, which is either going to be 11, 22, or 33, those you do not condense. Those are master numbers. They're different. But all the other ones, you reduce it as far as you can. So I want to say mine comes out to like something that's divisible by 3 because I'm a life path 3.
Interesting.
I want to say you don't reduce 8, though. Like, you got 8, and you don't reduce that to a 4 or a 2. Like, it stays at 8. I don't remember how you figured that out necessarily. Apologies. I will leave some information down below for you guys, though, for it.
I have a website that people can use. So
yes.
One of us will certainly put a website down there. No worries.
I love that. So knowing all of that fun stuff, I'm a life path 3. Life path 3 is all, I don't know all the life path information, so unfortunately I can't give you a breakdown of like every life path number. I think it's just 1 through 10 and then 11, 22, and 33. That's like all there ever can be. I don't think the numbers can go over 33 at this point.
Very interesting.
So being a life path 3, though, that is actually the creative type life path. Mm-hmm. So I'm like destined for a life of creation. And I love this for myself because I feel like I am very in alignment with that. That's all I've done for my entire adult life and my child life, actually, is anything that was creative, I always excelled the most at. Like, especially in writing as a child, Hillary knows. I have journals and journals and journals and journals fucking filled.
Dude, I so have admired that for, like, life. I was like, oh, that's amazing. So
honestly,
cool.
I think I just didn't have anyone to talk to.
Oh, no.
It's way more sad than that.
Oh, no. You could always talk to me. I'm here.
And then when I went to college and got my first laptop, like just Word documents galore. I used to do, I should really get back into that. I fucking miss writing. I should make time for that in my life. Dude, you're so
good at it too. Like really good at it.
Thank you.
It's true.
I appreciate that.
Again, genuine.
But it's all about the life of the creative. Now, the thing that I want to share here, and I'll give you yours too, Hillary, when we get to it, is when you know your life path number, you can actually get your corresponding tarot card for your life.
And... oh my God, I'm so excited.
I want to say there's technically two, and unfortunately, I don't have the right link with me, but I have one of them over the versus the two. But basically, it's like whatever the number is in the major arcana, I believe. And then to get your second one, I don't think you like add it together necessarily. Mm-hmm. But anyways, life path three, my tarot card is the Empress. It's the three in the major arcana in tarot. Love. And that makes so much sense because the Empress is literally the creation mother. So is like who I strive to be in my life is the Empress. And whenever I pull her up, I'm like, bitch, I'm aligned.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's amazing. And so
for you, Hillary, what are you?
I'm an eight. It's the powerhouse, which sounds really cool. I don't know all the details.
Well, your tarot card is actually strength, which I love for you. And I see it so hard because I know you.
If you all could see my face right now.
Yeah, her face is like, oh my God.
Like, I'm fucking blown away. And oh, I love shit.
That because strength also, that card corresponds to Leo. And I don't know. I feel like it's Leo season and...
why does that make me want to cry? Like, in the best way.
Because you're highly sensitive, Hillary, and I love it.
I am! Oh my God! That's so fucking cool. Oh, shit.
I love it.
And now, like, I want to go read up on the strength card.
So, I was actually going to do that for you, if I may.
Oh, you're beautiful. So I love you.
We have key strengths for you. You are loving and compassionate. You understand yourself well and know how to live a life that is true to yourself. You are an emotional-led person who feels the world, but you are not a slave to your feelings. You're great at facilitating happy relationships, helping others to overcome their differences and get along. You're loyal and a reliable friend. When life hands you a challenge, you respond with love and forgiveness. And the key challenges for you are you may sometimes struggle to feel that your voice isn't being heard. Rest assured, it is. There may be times when you feel that you are treated as a doormat. Though you're proud of your ability to keep your emotions in check, it can be hard for you to let loose and express yourself wildly. Hillary is having her mind fucking roasted right now.
I'm like, what the fuck I wish just you could happened? See her face. Holy shit. I am like... that's, yeah, okay, so, okay, hold on, okay. Now, I have had similar reactions to many personality tests, however, that was, like, to the T.
That's the thesis.
I'm absolutely blown away. I'm so happy you read that.
I'll definitely send you that link.
Please do. Oh my gosh.
And I didn't read my, I was so excited to get to Hillary's.
That I know, I want to hear yours now.
I didn't read mine. So key strengths for the Empress. We have loving and nurturing. You're a generous nature. Mercury retrograde, I thought we were done. Your generous nature is well loved. You probably have lots of friends. I always like to tell myself I have a small intimate circle, which, like, yes, that's true, but honestly, it's not true. Mm. Like, the people I talk to the most, yes, and I prioritize the most, yes, but if we actually talk about, like, friendship circles, I actually realized this yesterday, that I have a humongous group of people that I keep up with.
Wow. So, that's awesome.
You're great with your hands, crafting, building, cooking, DIY, gardening.
Oh my God, yes.
You notice the smaller things in life and find pleasure in those details. You know what you want and how to ask for it or create it for yourself. You make a fun, flamboyant lover.
And yes! Then
key challenges we have. Whilst you're too resourceful and self-reliant to be a spoiled brat, there's a tendency to act like a child when things don't go your way. I'm just shaking my head, yes. Be careful not to become too materialistic. Oh my God, yes. You dislike going out of your comfort zone. Yes and no. I've been getting more and more comfortable with that. Yes. As a lover, you could be kind of possessive. Yeah. Yet on the other hand, you can't always save your love for just one person. I'm going to say yes on that one because mm-hmm. even in like, and this is like, it's not TMI, but it's just like definitely probably a broader topic for another time. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but like even in my 6-year marriage / 11-year fucking span of my amazing relationship with my significant other, I have definitely expressed on multiple occasions having crushes on people, but we are so mm-hmm. open to that with each other that like it's no big deal.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the communication is the key.
Yes, which right? I feel like we're really good at.
I have so many things coming up that I want to say about relationships and how we put ourselves in boxes. But yes. Again, different topic. Okay. That's incredible.
I love it.
Was your mind as blown as mine, or was that just me?
I think I've just already read mine, and so my mind was blown like a month ago when I read over this.
Gotcha. But
normally, when I read yours just now, my mind was pretty blown.
That's so cool. That's just so cool.
Oh so God. Now every time you see strength, you can be like, oh my God, bitch.
Right?
And I swear there's like there's a second one to that, though. Like, everybody technically has two cards, but ooh. I can't find the right link that has the second one, and I'm sorry.
Interesting.
I will, if I find it, I will put it down below.
Yeah. We'll definitely put that one down below. Because yeah, that was definitely. Just too cool not cool. to share.
But those were the three that I wanted to cover. And do you have anything else you wanted to add about those, Hillary?
I just think it's really interesting that we picked three different ones because I have three completely separate ones that I want to talk about.
I think it really depicts our personalities when we like it. To blend our spiritual and practical. I love it.
It's so cool.
All right, you guys, we're going to hear about Hillary's choices after we come back from a break. And here's a word from our sponsors.
I know we said this in the other episode, but ever since we said it, I always have the Jeopardy theme song playing in my head. Same. When we have our break. I'm like,
too bad that shit's probably copyright. We could just play it.
I know, right? Oh my God. Yeah, so I wanted to talk, I think I want to start with one that I like recently. Okay, actually, you know what? Okay, I'm all over the place today, in case you all can't tell by how many times I start and stop starting a sentence. But I think I want to start with one that is a little harder to figure out because I don't know that there's a quiz online. I mentioned Nancy McWilliams and her psychoanalytic diagnosis. Now, yes. I have to say right from the get-go, psychoanalytic diagnosis sounds like two big scary words that will define who you are, and I don't know that the feeling of those words captures what the personality styles yes. are, you know?
They sound kind of scary, I'm going to be real with you.
No, they sound really scary, they sound totally. Scary. I completely agree. Like, I think there's so much in those two words. It just like, so please know that. The words are scarier than what's actually going on. Because in her book, which is titled Psychoanalytic Diagnosis, she goes through like these 9 different personality styles. And in them, the key parts are that actually she talks about a lot. She'll talk about like this personality style likely had parents who did these things, you yes. know, which is really cool to see that correlation. Like, oh, shit, love my it. Parents did that. That's where this tendency comes from. I'm all into that kind of stuff. And then she also talks about how the style presents. So, like, what are the hallmarks of your certain personality style? We all have different ones. And what's the defensive style? So that's kind of key. And I love that piece because if you know how you get defensive, how you defend yourself from what feels like a threat, number one, you can kind of figure out your personality style. But number two, I find that so helpful in knowing when I am activated. Because then I'll be like, oh, I'm having this reaction. Something activated me. Something hit me wrong. I'm feeling like I'm in danger. I know this is my defensive style. So what do I want to do with it? It gives you the freedom to say, like, what do I want to do here? That's how I look at it.
Yes. I love that.
So she has, and I'll... again, I couldn't find, like, an online quiz because this is such a, like, academic, high-minded thing, which I think is kind of dumb, to be honest. Like, I'm just going to throw it out there that having anything academic be available to a small, select group of people, for me, feels so wrong. Like,
yeah.
If it's helpful information, everyone should have it. You shouldn't have to have a degree or go to a certain school or anything to find that info. So this is helpful information, and I don't have a quiz for you because it's not mainstream, but I do have, this is so weird, I do have flashcards that I'll link down below. And so the flashcards kind of give you a snapshot of what each personality style is like. And again, some of the words are scary. Remember, personality style, different from personality disorder. Very different. For me, I am... Okay, here's another quick point. It is considered healthy if you find yourself kind of bouncing around between these personality styles. So if you look at them and you're like, well, sometimes I'm histrionic, but sometimes I'm obsessive, but sometimes I'm depressive. Cool. You're in a good realm. Like, that's okay. It's okay to bounce around. A lot of us, I would say most of us, do have one or two that are pretty dominant. You know, it's kind of like our default.
Yes. For me. Kind of like with the love languages. We might have, like, we talked about how, like, me and Hillary both had close seconds that we consider as well.
Exactly. Yes.
So you can have a multitude. That's
crucial. And allow that. You know, allow yourself to have the fluctuations of being a human.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, my dominant personality style is the depressive style, which does not mean depressed. Only a third of depressives will actually become depressed. So you see how these terms are really tricky to tease apart, right?
Yes.
So depressive style is often associated with feeling chronically guilty, feeling like you're hyper responsible for things. There's a tendency toward introjection. That's the defensive style. Introjection is basically, they said I'm this, so oh yes, I am this. And you take it in. So you might take someone's projection and take it inward and be like, yep, that's me. And there's a lot of other pieces. Each one of these styles has so many pieces floating around. They each have a whole chapter in her book. So I can't say all of it. Yeah, but for me, that's
be a lot.
Right? The depressive style, though, is closest to my personality. There's a tendency to be like, oh no, this is my fault. Oh, I did something wrong. It's this split between good and bad kind of thing. Like, oh, I must be bad. And so also I want to throw out, knowing that has been so helpful for me because then I can question myself. Wait a second. Did I do something wrong there? Hold on. Is this my fault? One second. Is guilt helpful in this moment? You see how knowing it can, like, shift
so
things.
So great. I love, and I've said this before on, like, multiple occasions, Hillary was truly the one who taught me to, like, carry the inner dialogue. Because it really, like, when you carry an inner dialogue with yourself, you can shut down so many things that are not serving you very quickly.
Yeah, totally. And it's a practice, too.
It is. It is totally a practice.
Yeah. It's hard to do, but I find, like, the more I do it, the more it becomes more automatic.
Yes.
And I love it. I don't know. I like to question myself.
Same.
But what is yours, if you know it? Because I know it's hard to figure out if you're not, like, really in it.
I've just been looking over them, I identified more with the obsessive.
Mm-hmm. I have pieces of that, too.
Obsessive was, like, my top, but I would say I could fall a little bit into depressive and schizoid.
Oh, I have pieces of the schizoid, too. Yeah.
Those ones were the ones that I felt like were the most.
Yeah. That's interesting because I feel like I have pieces of those as well, just in a different configuration.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, I think the only reason I wasn't highly attached to depressive and that was less so is I actually find for myself, but it didn't used to be this way. Mm-hmm. I think younger me probably would have attached a little bit more to the depressive. But I just don't – I find that it's actually harder for me to turn on myself.
That's
like,
wonderful.
That's not something – like, I used to do it all the time, but I've been keeping that inner dialogue, Hillary.
Yes. And you know what's really interesting? I originally think I was more self-defeating or masochistic in terms of personality style. That's such a loaded word. Like, please know it's specific in the book in its use. So that's how it used to be. And then I started doing my personal work and it shifted to more depressive, which I see as a lower level of the masochistic. Gotcha. Because it's less active turning against the self. It's less doing things that will put you in a position that is bad for you. Gotcha. It's more just like, oh, I feel guilty about things, you know? So it's interesting how we, like, we shift over time, right? So yes, that's McWilliams. She is brilliant. I just cannot recommend her book enough. And I'll put
those. I know, I feel like I need to get it. I just finally ordered that Highly Sensitive Person book, and now I'm like, shit, I need to get the McWilliams book too. Hillary giving me all the good shit.
I have like way too many books that I even need to still get. So the next one that I want to talk about, this is one that I think is, this is so mainstream that they did it for us. And I think, I don't know if you had to do this, but I did. In high school, they had us take the Myers-Briggs.
Yes. I took Myers-Briggs in high school as well.
And that was interesting because if my recollection serves, we were maybe like 13 or 14, right? They had us go into the career center, take the Myers-Briggs, and then they told us what careers we should have based on our personality. I have so many feelings about that process.
Same.
Like, please do not limit us at such a young age. Don't make us pick something at such a young age. Our personalities are still developing. Adolescence is a time of identity formation. Dude,
I feel that way about college, period. Fuck no. I feel like we should all just wait to go to college until we're 25.
Well, you know what? On that note, side story.
Except you, Hillary, because you're amazing and you found the best field for you and I'm so happy and proud of you.
That's so sweet. I love it. But realistically, like, I think having that foundational knowledge, like, go to a CC first and get your gen eds done.
Yes.
You know, or like just do gen eds for, don't. I just think we are making people pick shit way too young. And some people might know that young, and that's great. I didn't know what
Most people don't. And what's crazy, in my opinion, is school is so outrageously overpriced.
Yes.
That so many of us come from this place of like, oh, I have to pick something because it costs so much to change.
Yeah.
And in reality, like, and even in my own family, I have heard like shame come down on people that I know or even myself, like, oh, well, you change your mind faster than you change your underwear. And I used to take so much shame in that growing up. Ugh. And now I'm like, dude, I think it's so great that I experienced so many fields and got to like get my hands on so many things to figure out what I did and didn't want.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
Honestly, I think if money wasn't about this. So heavily involved, like, it probably would have, people probably would take less like upset to it.
I agree. I have so many thoughts. I think we should save them for another episode.
Hillary's right. We're getting carried away.
Because I'm like really like, anyway.
Don't make my next stabbing come out right now.
Right.
Also, I get that from Dame Cook when he's talking about Jolly Ranchers. Oh, if you love green apple, I'll stab you in the neck.
That is, yep, that is Dame Cook. God, that's been forever.
I know. Anyway, sorry. Carry on.
Myers-Briggs. Yeah. So the Myers-Briggs, widely accessible. The website's super cute.
Oh, it seems so cute. I feel like it got redone not too long ago.
I agree. And they have these like little wizard guys on there. It's adorable.
They're so cute.
God, it's adorable. So I really do like that one because that it'll actually show you over time how you've changed a bit. Yes. It's very well known, very mainstream. It has some basis in the Jungian stuff, which, you know me, I go to a depth school, so everything's all about Carl Jung. Not everything. We talk about other things. It just, we have a deep love for Carl Jung and Jungian psychology. Like, So
I love it.
Actually, he's kind of a little bit of the foundation for the Myers-Briggs. So obviously I love it.
I didn't know that.
Right? I didn't know until my instructor did. Like, she wrote it on the board, and I was like, what?
Bitch, what?
Right? So that one, hard to describe, but I'll just launch into what I am. So actually, let me move back. In high school, I was an INFJ. Uh-huh. Now, I took it again just a month or two ago. I'm an INFJD. T. So there's been a shift in some way. And that personality style is called the advocate, which Chloe knows. How many times do I use the word advocate or advocate? I just want to advocate for people. Like, it's so constant. but what about you, Chloe? Do you know yours? No, you do, because you took it today, right?
I just took my test today because I used to be just an INFJ. Mm-hmm. And now I'm actually an ENFJT. So we are very similar. We just have the introvert and extrovert is interchanged.
Yes.
And what I find so fascinating about that, I was telling Hillary this today, and this really speaks to the evolution of my own personality and how we can change, is I used to be, I think, even more introvert in social settings. Actually, I have a couple things to say. Because I believed that I had social anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I've come to a place where I believe now that it was never social anxiety. It was trauma playing out.
Oh, yes.
And I've never actually been socially anxious. It's like certain people based on trauma experiences cause it. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I love group settings. I love people. I'm extremely charismatic. Like,
mm-hmm. So true.
No, I actually do think I'm way more of an extrovert now that I've kind of started to work through those things. So I feel like it's very fitting. But second thing I have to say about that is I also, and this is just my personal opinion, I don't know if this is like said anywhere widely, I do feel like where you go to recharge yourself is kind of gives you this like, are you an extrovert or an introvert?
Mm-hmm.
Because when I go to recharge, I don't want to go party. I don't want to spend time with a group of people. I want to be alone.
Yes, totally. So. I think those are such good points, you know? I mean, for so many reasons.
Which you can be an ambivert.
Exactly. Which I feel like let's not limit ourselves.
I could be an ambivert.
Oh, totally. I think that you are a good example of an ambivert.
I agree.
Because you have traits of both, you know? Let's not limit ourselves, right? There's something about the first part that you said. I just got so, like, excited. I keep losing my train of thought because I'm just too excited. Anyway, it'll come back to me or it won't. But, yeah, I think the Myers-Briggs is, I don't know, it's one of my favorites.
It really is good. I love it. And, like, on the website, it's free, first of all.
Yes.
I don't know if we said
that. All the links that we're going to put down are free.
Yeah.
Please know that. We're not going to make you pay for shit. Mm-mm.
No. But they're so cute and they all have their own little like character, like Hillary was saying, mine's the protagonist.
Aww.
And I was even saying to Hillary, I was like, wow, that is so fitting of who I am as an adult. Look at the career path that I have. I put myself as the protagonist constantly. I am the star of the show. Like,
yeah. And I mean, if we're looking at career paths, that's so true. Like, my advocate self, that to me, that's a lot of what therapy is. I'm advocating for people to advocate for themselves, which is a lot of advocating. Oh, it's what you said before about trauma. Just a quick side note. I think that is so beautiful and so insightful because it is absolutely incredible how many things can have trauma at the root of them, but we just might not be aware.
Yes.
This is a really weird parallel and it's totally not comparable, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's like allergies and it's not like allergies. Trauma and allergies are so different. Oh my God. But what I'm saying is when I found
you,
out,
bitch. Fuck you. I'm allergic to you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Oh my God.
Get away. Just sneezing my trauma away.
No, sneezing my trauma away. Oh, shit. But it's like, when I found out I had allergies, I was like, what? Allergies are runny nose and sniffles. And my allergist was like, well, no. I mean, it is that, but it's also other things. So I had nausea because of my allergies, because of postnasal drip. So that kind of parallel, like, you think it's one thing because it would make sense, like, oh, it must be something I'm eating, that's why I'm nauseous. No, it's your allergies. You just don't understand the mechanism by which it's occurring. And trauma, I think, has such a similar effect.
Yes.
You know, like, who knows? So anyway, I also, this sounds really weird, but I'm like a trauma nerd. Like,
I love you for that, though.
Love learning about trauma and what we can do with it. You've made me a better person,
Hillary.
Oh, likewise. Okay, I'm way too excited. I need to talk about Enneagrams because I know that we're taking forever.
Before we leave Myers-Briggs, I do want to just say, like, yes, that was my experience, trauma, whatnot. Still, remember to, like, you know, it's not like you're not going to use these personality things to fucking determine if you have mental illness or not. Like, I just really want to make sure, like, because you know.
No, I completely agree. I don't think they are in no way equal. They are in no way able to be put together like that. At the same time, I think it's interesting to see what may have happened in our life that covers over our natural personality.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
100%.
So they're separate. They can just play off of each other, I guess.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I have this marble. I have this white marble with a bunch of color spots on it. And I'm thinking about that. Like, at our core, we're that whatever color marble. This just happens to be white. And then through our life, we get these colors splattered over us so we can't see what's underneath it. It's just
we are unconditional love and bliss, damn it.
Yes. Okay, Enneagrams.
Yay.
Enneagrams are very new to me. I don't know much about them. I do know that it's fun.
It is very fun, and it's really become cool. A lot more popular recently. Yeah. I find. I've been hearing about it more.
That's true. It has been. One thing I did learn that I thought was really helpful, because I don't have much to share on Enneagrams in general, but what I do have to share is this. My Enneagram came up as a 2-3-4, which is the helper, motivator, and artist, or helper, artist, and motivator. I'm not sure. But then I was speaking with, I think it was my therapist, and she informed me of something that I think we should all know. It's been said or noted that oftentimes in our culture, women will get a 2 for Enneagrams. Now, the Enneagram is split up kind of like love languages in that you get a score to know what's your highest one. I tied among 2, 3, and 4. And she said, okay, you have to throw the 2 out because we are socialized and acculturated as women in this society to be helpers. So that piece, that 2, that's just what I have been taught to be. That's what I've been conditioned to be, going back to our other episode.
Yes.
So if you remove that, what's left? For me, it's the 3 and the 4. Now, this is not to say that just because you're a woman, you can't naturally be a helper. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, like, look at the acculturation piece. Look at what we've been conditioned to. So, then you look at what's left over when you remove that piece. Just to see. So for me, helper, artist, and motivator. Or helper, motivator, and artist. I keep mixing up the 3 and the 4. And it was interesting because when I did that and read those, I was like, wow, that really boils down a lot of me right in those 3. Like, so interesting.
I feel like we must have taken ours from different places because my information conflicts a little bit. The helper still pertains to 2. But in mine, I came out as a type 3 with a wing 2, which the wing 2 probably has a lot to do with that. Sure. I am also here to say that the 3 for myself probably also has a lot to do with that, and I almost want to take the test again because the 3 from the website I did it from brought me out as the achiever, which I did agree with a lot of it. Which I'll tell you a little bit about it. So it says, 3s are self-assured, attractive, and charming, ambitious, competitive, and energetic. They can also be status-conscious and highly driven for achievement. They are diplomatic and poised, but can also be overly concerned with their image and what others think of them. They typically have problems with workaholism and competitiveness. At their best, they're self-accepting, authentic, everything they seem to be role models who inspire others. I just got goosebumps. which, like, yes, I agree with so much of that for myself, especially with what I like to do with my time. Mm-hmm. But there's part of that, especially when we talk about, like, the social status parts of things, where I highly see that that was just ingrained from where I've come from.
Totally. I think that's one of the coolest parts about doing the personality tests, because if we start with the knowledge that personality is a result of both nature and nurture. If we start with the knowledge that personality is a result of both temperament and attachment, then we know that there are pieces of our personality that we have been taught and pieces of our personality that are naturally us. So then for me, the question becomes, how do I sort out what's mine and what's theirs? And how do I tease it apart so that I can be me and not be what they wanted me or needed me to be?
Yes. Man, I feel like that's where I am now. I'm trying to figure that out.
It's hard because how do you sort that out?
Like, sometimes it's hard because a lot of times your inner voice sounds like yourself.
Yes.
And it's not so always your voice.
No, it's not. It really not always. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not.
And you kind of have to learn to differentiate those voices.
It's so true. And I think a lot of it is just like gentle questioning, curious questioning, not judgmental questioning.
Precisely.
And go ahead and take like first 15 personality tests. You know?
Yeah. It's great. Do it. Shit.
We did that in one of my classes. I'm not even kidding. We all took upwards of 10. I want to go to
therapy school.
Dude, it was so cool. And then we put them all on the board. And it was just really neat to be like, oh, okay. What's the trend in our cohort? And if I spoke to that, I would then be getting into other people's information. So I can't say more.
Yeah.
All I'll say is that the practice of taking all of those tests and then seeing it in front of you, like, and we even went into like spirit animal and totem animal, all that kind of stuff. Really fascinating. If you have the time to do that, I highly, highly recommend it.
Yes.
So
yes,
cool.
Yes.
Anyway, that's all my stuff.
That's all we got for this. But
yeah. Oh, homework.
I was just going to say for homework, we really just want to encourage you guys to take some of those tests and, you know, use it. Go back and listen to our episode on social conditioning and use that as a tool.
Yeah.
I feel like I almost wish we would have put that in homework in that episode. And I don't think we did.
Such a good point.
But take some of these personality tests, especially that color code one. Mm-hmm. That one really will open your eyes, in my opinion, because it was kind of like Hillary and I were doing it together and we were kind of struggling. We were like,
whoa. Yeah. Like, wait, but as a child, way different from how like, I am I'm now. Not,
exactly. So definitely take some of these, whatever ones spark your fancy or interest you. We didn't go over every single one because we would be here for a literal decade, which maybe some of you would like that. I don't know. But we didn't do them all, but they're all good.
Yes.
We've enjoyed all of it.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I love learning about my personality and your personality and my man's personality. I just like knowing shit. I don't know.
I agree. Well, I think it is helpful both intrapersonally and interpersonally. Those were big unnecessary words.
I like unnecessary words. Tell me more.
I like the big words. They're fun. No, but really, though, I think that at least in my experience, it's been helpful in knowing myself, in questioning how I came to be who I am, and if that is who I actually am.
Yes.
And in knowing how I interact with others and seeing, oh, you know what? I don't like this thing that I do. How can I adjust that? Where is that coming from? What can I do with it? How can I work with it?
Yes. And remember, your personality can change. Don't say that you can't, or I will stab you in the neck.
In the neck.
The knife will be dull. It'll hurt more. Don't make me come into your dreams and stab, okay?
Shove a butter knife, and it'll be super dull.
Yes. It's going to hurt real bad. So, next stabbing is going to happen if you don't believe that you can change or that people around you can change. Don't be telling people that. Remember, change is possible.
So possible. Yes. Love it.
And yeah, that's everything. So you guys, if you love the podcast, please rate us if you haven't done so already, or share us with a friend. We still obviously are doing the thing where if you rate our podcast, you on Apple, unfortunately, that's the only place that we know of that you can rate us on Apple, or you can also follow any of our social media accounts. We currently are doing Twitter and Instagram. I don't think we're as Facebook oriented anymore because we just don't like it. Gonna be real honest. We just don't like it. So if you follow us and then just show us that you followed, send us a screenshot to our email listed down below, or send us that review down below. Even if you give us a 1-star rating, yes, it would make us a little bit sad, but we will still give you the meditation. You don't have to love us. Like,
it's true.
We want your honesty.
Yes.
But send us that and we will send you a free guided meditation back that Hillary herself recorded. It's beautiful. We love it. Hillary's fucking talented and it's great.
Sweet. Also, my heart. If you have
any questions,
you just
comments,
hit
concerns,
one of my love languages and it was so tender.
Oh shit, I did. Bitch. I think I do that at the end of every episode.
It's so sweet.
If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please don't hesitate to send us an email. We do check those. We do respond to them. It might take us a little bit, but we will get to them. And we will see you guys. We will talk to you guys next Monday morning.
I wish we could see you all.
Yeah, that would be so cool. Someday, Twin Flames Tour is going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Putting it out into the universe.
Yes.
Someday, Twin Flames Tour, and then we'll be like, bitch, we're coming to your city, buy a ticket. It's going to happen.
Right? Can't wait.
But yeah, follow us on all the things. Check out all of the nether regions. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.